Father, I thank you. I ask tonight, O Lord, that you speak to your children once again. I pray, O God, that your word would come directly from your throne and rest upon the hearts of your children in the name of Jesus. Once again, Father, Lord, we ask, O God, that you deliver wisdom into our hearts, Lord. We ask, O God, that you deliver insight into our hearts through your word. Father, deliver solutions into our hearts to your word in the name of Jesus. Father, let us not live here the same way we came. We pray, O God, that your glory and your grace will rest upon us tonight as we sit at your feet, at your throne, to learn of your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I pray that your children will hear your voice and not my voice in the name of Jesus. Let them connect with your spirit in the mighty name of Jesus, we've prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to be teaching us a message I've titled, How to Work a Blessing. How to Work a Blessing. How to Work a Blessing. So this month, we're rounding up the month, actually. And this month has been our month of excelling blessings. Our month of excelling blessings. And as usual, like I always say, when God gives a word, when God sends a word of prophecy, there is an understanding required for you to make that prophecy come to pass in your life. There is an understanding that you need for you to make sure that you activate that prophecy over the life of yourself and over the life of your children. And without it, we would only pray amiss. Without understanding, we cannot pray effectively. It is off the back of our understanding of God's word, of God's promise and his prophecies, that we pray effectively. So this month, our month of excelling blessing. What exactly is an excelling blessing? So tonight I'm going to talk to us about the workings of a blessing. And, you know, things, I think sometime in 2009, many years ago, well, a few years ago, Pastor taught us on a message he titled The Anatomy of a Miracle. The Anatomy of a Miracle. And also he taught us about the anatomy of money. The anatomy of money. And that made me understand and believe that the kingdom of God works on systems. The kingdom of God is based on systems. There's a system. There's a system of the kingdom when it comes to money. There's a system of the kingdom when it comes to miracles. There's a system of the kingdom when it comes to healing. There's a system of the kingdom when it comes to deliverance. The kingdom of God works on systems. And if you do not understand the system that relates to any particular area, then there's no way you would know what to do. There's no way you would understand or know which steps to take. You know, the kingdom of God is not hit and miss. The kingdom of God is not hit and miss. And I, for one, am a person that works on systems. If you want me to participate in anything, there must be a system. You must show me what are the steps required for the desired outcome. I don't know how to. I struggle with hit and miss. So if it's, oh, today, we win today, we lose tomorrow, I would lose interest. I would not be interested. And that's why I find it difficult to follow the game of football, like some of you do. I mean, to me, no offense, today you lose, tomorrow you win. Where's the system? There's no system in that. Do you agree? Football is a systemless sport. You just run around, kick the football, and then you score. And bring that same guy back next season, score, he cannot. Where is the system in that? Somebody tell me. So I find it difficult. When people ask me, oh, you don't follow football? I'm like, yeah, so what? What is football? Can you explain the workings of football? No. That's why I say... Okay, can I call someone to come and explain to me the system of football? Really? I don't mean... Talk. We're going to set something up here, and you're going to kick the ball the same way, and it will go the same way all the time. Are you ready for the challenge? That's why I say to people, go and learn an instrument. Go and learn. There's a system to playing keyboard. There's a system to playing the guitar. There's a system to playing the drum. You do the same thing over and over again. Your body will get accustomed to it. Do I have any musicians in the house? Thank you very much. And golf as well. There's a system. There's a system. I always say to my almost every day I say to my wife, how would anybody be in this world and you cannot play an instrument? Come on. You should learn a system. Learn a system. So make sure your kids learn an instrument. No, any instrument. There are how many instruments in the world? Let them learn something. It's a system. Okay? Right. So tonight, I'm not talking about sports or football. I'm talking about the system. How to work a blessing. How to work a blessing. So there are two categories of blessings. There are two categories. The first category of blessings is the blessings that come from God out of grace and mercy. And they are the blessings that come from God out of His grace and His mercy. And these are the blessings, and these are the blessings that everyone enjoys, irrespective of what you do. You enjoy these blessings because God is merciful and He sends them. And there's another category of blessings. The second category of blessings, these are the blessings that you provoke consciously by human participation with God. That's the second category of blessings. So the category one blessing is, as we know, as Matthew 5:45 says, it says, He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's what the Bible says. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So I've heard people argue many times that, why would a man who does not know God, who does not follow the instructions of God, why would he be blessed? Why would he be wealthy? Why would he prosper in an area? That's a blessing that that person cannot replicate. He does not know what exactly he can do to make sure that that blessing continues to excel in his or her life. So that's a category one blessing. That's a blessing that comes out of God's mercy or out of God's own free will of his mercies. Now, the second category of blessing, that's the blessing I want to talk to us about tonight. So when I make reference to blessing going forward tonight, I'm talking about this category two blessing, which is the excelling blessing. Okay, so the excelling blessing falls under the second category of blessings that I'm going to be teaching on tonight. And the first category of blessing also, you find this in corporate gatherings. So you can be a member of this church, for instance. And, take as an example, God has blessed us with this building, this wonderful facility. Not everyone has to do anything to enjoy this blessing. Not everyone prays about the building, the church building, or God provide for us, let this building be established, let us make sure we maintain this building. Not everyone prays about it. Some people just enjoy that blessing. They just come and they expect everything is going to be great. They expect that God will provide all the money will be there to pay the bills for the electricity. They expect that if anything is broken, it can be fixed. The provisions are there. Okay, so those are people that just enjoy, they sit in the category one blessings. They benefit the blessings that God provides corporately. Okay, and there's some people that consciously and actively make sure that they intercede and pray concerning this building. Okay, so there's some people that probably have sleepless nights when things go wrong or when there's a major issue. They worry or they pray about it. And they really seek the face of God. So tonight I'm going to talk about that class of blessing, which is the category two blessing. Okay. Now this blessing is a blessing that comes with responsibility. The blessing, excelling blessing, comes with responsibility. Now when God deliberately visits you with this type of blessing, it is always for a purpose. It's always for a reason. God does not waste his resources. He does not waste his blessings. The Bible says to us in Luke chapter 12, it says, but Luke chapter 12, verse 48, it says, but he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much is committed, of him they will ask the more. So some people hear that saying, to whom much is given, much is expected. You actually think it's a secular saying. It's actually in the scriptures. To whom much is given, much is expected. And to whom much has been entrusted, much will be asked. So category two blessing, which is excelling blessing, comes with a responsibility. When God blesses you with that type of blessing, it comes with a responsibility. There is something that God expects you to do with that blessing. And when God answers my prayer in an area and the blessings come through, I always spend more time from the beginning praying and asking God, okay, why have you blessed me or my household with this thing? Why have you blessed us? I say that time and time to my wife. When God blesses us and we have a huge testimony, I always say to her, I say, look, what is God saying about what is in this thing for God? Why has God blessed us with this thing? Why has he blessed us in this area? There must be a reason for it. There must be an agenda, a kingdom agenda for this blessing, because it is not ordinary blessing. It is not an ordinary blessing. If you're flying high in your career, God has blessed you with children. God has blessed you with a home, with a house. You're living in your own house. I always personally sit back and think, okay, why has God given this thing to us? And I share a personal testimony. It's nothing like a personal testimony. I share a testimony with you. My wife and I, after we got married, we did not have our firstborn until a few years after. It wasn't as planned, okay? It wasn't as planned. It wasn't as we desired. But the moment we had this understanding about the blessings of God, right? God began to defile trends for us. The moment we caught the understanding that, look, God is going to bless us with this child for a purpose and for a reason. It's not because we just fancy being parents or we fancy nurturing a child. He's going to bless us with this child for a purpose. And that's why I don't carry my children around as if, oh, okay, yeah, my children, my kids. No, those are God's agents. I'm only here as a facilitator. Those are God's children. Those are God's agents. And when it comes to making sure that they fulfill God's plan and purpose, I don't mess about. I was speaking with a brother last Sunday, and he was telling me, oh, now you have a boy, isn't it? You see, you're going to have to start taking him to football. He wants to play football. He wants to do this. I don't think you're going to be able to come for three services. I was like, what? You are joking. Football? So because he wants to play football, right, I'm now going to start trimming down my commitment. Don't get me wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it, okay? But that's just my own personal choice, okay? I said to him, if he wants, he should go and play 10-10. There's no football that's going to make me not reduce my commitment or not come attend to my responsibilities because a kid wants to play football. I said, I'm sorry. That's not going to happen. There's nothing wrong. If he wants to go and play the football, he can go and play the football. If there are other ways of him getting there, brilliant. But I ain't going to shift or compromise because of that. Why? Because he has not come into my life, right, to change the course of God or to change the plans of God, okay? So that's just an example of our own testimony. Whenever God blesses us as a family, as a household, we sit back and we look, what is God doing here? God blessed us last year, end of last year, with a new home. And the first few weeks, the first few months, I was waiting on God and I was praying that, God, what exactly do you have us, would you have us do in this area, in this location? Why exactly have you brought us here? And when God gave me that word, if you come to our home now, it's written boldly at the door. A lot of people see the sign, they don't know what it means, but it was an instruction from God. It was a word that God gave to us, concerning that blessing. And we can already see the manifestation of that purpose and that blessing. So the blessings of God that are excelling blessings, they are not blessings that we just sit on. Pastor Angela taught us a few weeks back about excelling blessings. And she said, excelling blessings are outflowing blessings. You cannot sit on an excelling blessing. It will not excel. It will be a blessing, but it will not excel. The moment you sit on it and you think, okay, I've arrived, I'm going to so enjoy myself here, it's not going to excel. Excelling blessing is outflowing blessing. It is always, there is always a kingdom purpose or kingdom agenda in excelling blessing. So it's time for you to start looking beyond. When you want to operate in excelling blessings, you need to look beyond your pocket. You need to look beyond your own personal agenda. You need to look beyond your own personal gratification. Excelling, if it's for you to enjoy yourself and have a good time, God can give you an ordinary blessing as He will bless every other person. But the moment you desire in your heart that you want an extraordinary blessing, an excelling blessing that is different, you know that sort of blessing that when your mates are, for example, your mates are in, they do a contract for 6 months, for another 4 months they sit at home looking for something else, you're running a business, you make profit, and then it goes dry for a season or for a while. You need to look deeper and check deeper, because excelling blessing is always flowing. It's always flowing. It's always flowing out. There's a saying I always hear pastors say, that the pipe that carries water never runs dry. The pipe that carries water never runs dry. If as long as you continue to allow the blessings of God to flow through you and to flow out, you will never run dry in that area. I want us to open to Deuteronomy 28. From verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Now, I want us to pay attention to verse 1 and 2. Okay. Where it says, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. High above all nations of the earth. Now, what that means, what does that mean? Excelling blessing is a blessing that demarcates you. It demarcates you from the rest. Okay? It's a blessing that when you enjoy excelling blessing, others around you will know there's a difference. There'll be a difference in your career, when you enjoy an excelling blessing in your career. There will be a difference in your marriage, when you excel, when you are enjoying excelling blessing in your marriage, there'll be a difference even in the lives of your children when you are experiencing excelling blessing in your home. But it comes with a price. It comes with a price. And it all has to do with your heart. It has to do with your heart condition. Now, how do we condition our hearts so that we can receive excelling blessings from God? How do we make sure that we create a conducive environment in our hearts for it to receive God's excelling blessing? The price that we need to pay, right, is not a physical price. And I'm going to go through one by one with you tonight. The price that you have to pay is a price that you pay from your heart, okay? Now, our God knows the heart of man, and you cannot fool him. So when the scripture says that excelling blessings come with a price, or there's a price to pay for it, it's not something that you say to God, oh, okay, if you bless me in this area, okay, I'm going to do this. No, God sees your heart even before he blesses you. He sees your heart, and he knows if it is right to receive this blessing. The first condition is obedience. 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 Your heart must be prepared to obey and to follow the instructions of God. Your heart must be prepared to obey and to follow the instructions of God. Now, I'm not saying that you must follow the instructions of God after the blessings. No. These conditions need to be fulfilled before the blessings come. Unfortunately, you cannot defraud God. There's no way you can promise heaven and earth and try and cajole God into blessing you, and then when the blessing comes, you do a runner. You cannot cajole God. God knows if your heart is right and ready to receive this blessing. The first is obedience. Obedience. And Deuteronomy 28, as we read, he says that if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. I want you to underline that, high above all nations of the earth. That is one of the indicators of an excelling blessing. And verse 2 says, and all these blessings shall come upon you. Again, underline that, come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. It says, if you obey me, that I will set you high above the rest of the earth. That these blessings will come upon you and they will overtake you. That is an excelling blessing. An excelling blessing comes upon you. If you've experienced an excelling blessing, it comes upon you and you know that, wow, this is heavy. This is weighty. This blessing is actually weighty. This can only be the hand of God. And it says that it would overtake you. It would overtake you. That is an excelling blessing. You see, when you condition your heart to receive an excelling blessing from God, it's a blessing that overtakes. It goes beyond your imagination and your own plan. Why? Because God is the one that has a plan and an agenda for that blessing. An excelling blessing carries a plan and an agenda for God. Not your own plans, not your own agenda, but the plans and agenda of God. That's why the scripture says that it would overtake you. It would overtake your imagination, it would overtake your plans, and it just keeps rolling in. And we know as an example is Abraham. Abraham, in Genesis 12:4, it says that Abraham departed as God instructed him. God gave him an instruction. He said, Abraham, leave your home country, leave your relatives, leave your family, and go to a land that I will show you. Okay? Now, God did not give Abraham the land that he was going to send him to. God said, go to the land that I will show you. That means Abraham obeyed even before God gave him the picture. Abraham's heart was ready to obey, and God knew. God knew that this guy is going to obey me wherever I tell him to go. Even if at the end of it, he finds out that, oh, the land that God is showing me is not actually a favorable land, but it's the instruction of God. However, God knew that this guy was going to obey, and this guy was going to follow his instruction. The other example is the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. This is the widow that God sent to feed Elijah. In fact, I want us to open to that scripture, 1 Kings 17. These are two good examples that teach us that we need to condition our hearts ready to obey God if we want to experience excelling blessings. Again, in here, God did not tell this widow. Okay, let's read it. Let's open to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17 from verse 8. Yes, 1 Kings 17, 8. The Lord told him, this is the Lord speaking to Elijah, says, "Get up, go to Zarephath in Sidonian territory and live there. I have already told a widow who lives there to provide for you." So he got up and went to Zarephath. When he went through the city gate, there was a widow gathering wood. He called out to her, "Please give me a cup of water so I can take a drink." As she went to get it, he called out to her, "Please bring me a piece of bread." Verse 12, she said, "As certainly as the Lord your God lives, I have no food except for a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. Right now," pay attention to that, "right now I am gathering a couple of sticks for fire. Then I am going home to make one fine meal for my son and myself. After we have eaten that, we will die of starvation." Now, verse 8 started off saying, "I have spoken to a widow in Zarephath to feed you," right? But when Elijah spoke to the widow and said, "What are you up to? What are you doing?" You'd have expected she would say, "Oh, God has spoken to me and I'm looking for the prophet. I'm looking for the man he has sent me to." No, she said, "I am gathering sticks right now and I'm going to cook a meal for myself and my son and we're going to die." So the instruction had not been given beforehand to the widow. All she had was the heart of obedience that was ready to receive the excelling blessing that was about to come her way. It wasn't until verse 13. Let's read on from verse 13. Elijah then said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go and do as you planned. But first, make a small cake for me and bring it to me. Then make something for yourself and your son. This is what the Lord God of Israel says." And that was the word of God that came through to her. So what was it that qualified her for excelling blessing? It was a heart of obedience. God knew that this widow had the heart of obedience. And whatever instructions she receives on this journey to her blessing, she would not do a detour, but she would follow through. I'm sure there are many widows in Zarephath. There would not be just one widow in a city. And God could have used any widow. God could have used any widow. All the scripture says that is that there was a widow. There was a widow who was ready to obey the instruction of God. Believe me, I'm sure if this woman decided, "Oh, man of God, I'm sorry. I need to go and pray about this, or let God speak to me again, or I need to," God would easily have chosen another widow. God could have used any widow to feed his prophet. One thing was sure, God was not going to fail Elijah because he already said to him, "Enough of eating this food from the ravens. I'm going to send you to a woman who's going to feed you." That promise had to come to pass in the life of Elijah. And also, off the back of that obedience, this widow experienced excelling blessings. She experienced her excelling blessing. And that goes to show us that for you to receive a blessing from God, right, you need to also be a blessing. That leads us to the next point, which is blessing. How do you condition your heart to receive an excelling blessing from God? You need to be a blessing. Okay, so the first is the heart of obedience. And the second is your heart must be prepared to bless other people. Your heart must be prepared to bless other people. When you bless others, God will take care of your own desires and your needs. For you to experience excelling blessing, you need to surrender yourself to be a tool of blessing in the hand of God. You need to surrender yourself. You need to ask yourself, okay, why exactly do I want this extraordinary blessing from God? Is it for me to sit on it and enjoy it with my household? Or is it for me to be a blessing to other people? In Luke 18:29, Jesus said to his disciples here, He said, "Truly I tell you, there is no man who has left his home or parent or brother or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this age and the age to come eternal life." Excelling blessing is a blessing that God will place in your hands for you to be a blessing to his kingdom. He says there is no man who would leave behind his own desires and would leave behind his own comfort that would not receive a blessing from God in this age and the age to come. So God always uses human agents. We've heard Pastor preach about that many times. God is always looking for an agent to use. God is looking for an agent through which he will be a blessing to a nation. God is looking for an agent through which he will be a blessing to the church. God is looking for an agent through which he will be a blessing to that woman who has stayed up all night praying for her next breakthrough. God needs an agent. He's not going to come down himself. He needs an agent. But for you to qualify to be that agent, you need to make sure that your heart is conditioned to be a blessing to other people. And also in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he says, "Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over shall be given back to you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And what does that mean? It simply means that the measure of your blessing determines the measure of your blessing. Okay, have I confused you? Don't worry, you can go home and think about that. The measure of your blessing determines the measure of your blessing. You can think about that when you get home. I won't bother explaining it. So your heart needs to be conditioned to be blessed, to be a blessing to other people. And the third thing is assignment. Assignment. Your heart must be ready to pick up an assignment for God. If your heart is ready to pick up an assignment for God, God would visit you with an excelling blessing. And the scripture tells us this in Luke 22:35. This is Jesus Christ again speaking to his disciples. He says, "When I sent you out without purse or bag or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. "Nothing." He said, "Did you lack anything?" "Nothing." With every God-given assignment, there comes divine provision. Every God-given assignment carries a divine provision that is beneficial both to the assignment and also to the assignee. So God will not send you on an errand without divine, excelling provisions and blessings. Every assignment of God has a blessing hidden within it. Even your employers, if they send you on an assignment, by law, they are mandated to make sure that they look after your accommodation, they look after your transport, your feeding. Why? Because they have sent you out of your comfort zone. They have sent you on an assignment that you did not sign up for. And that's the same thing with our God. Our God would always make a divine provision whenever he gives you an assignment. He will never send you on an assignment and then you get there wondering, okay, how do I survive? And that's what he said to his disciples here. I sent you out without purse and bags and sandals, but did you lack anything? You can never lack anything when you pick up an assignment for God. So divine and excelling blessings requires your heart to be ready and say, "Lord, I'm ready to pick up an assignment for you. Bless me so that I can fulfill this assignment. Bless me so that I can function in this assignment." If your heart is not ready to go on an assignment for God, God will not waste his resources. He's going to look for the next man, the next woman who is ready to do this job for him. If your heart is not ready to carry an assignment for God, then you're going to sit in the category one blessing. And that's the blessing that just happens by time and chance. I don't want a time and chance blessing. I want to be able to follow steps constantly for me to achieve excelling blessings in my life, in every area of my life. I want to know that, okay, this is what I need to do for me to experience this blessing in this area. And this is what I need to continue to do for that blessing to continue to excel, for it to continue to excel. Do you know what that means? Excelling blessing continues to excel. You don't just hit it once and then you enjoy it and you know, yeah, I've been there, done that, I've had my time, leave it for someone else. No, excelling blessing continues As long as you continue to play along with God's plan, it will continue in your life. So the first thing is obedience. Your heart needs to be conditioned to obey every word and instruction of God. And the next requirement of your heart is the blessing. You need to make sure that your heart is conditioned and ready to be a blessing unto others, to be a blessing unto God's people, to be a blessing to God's kingdom. And the third is an assignment. Your heart needs to be conditioned and ready to pick up an assignment. These three things mark the word of God. I won't say mark my words, because it's the word of God. You focus on these three things: obedience, blessing, and the assignment of God. You will continue to experience an excelling blessing in every area of your life. Whatever area it is that you apply these three principles of the heart, the blessings and excelling blessings of God will visit you and your household. But there's some things I want you to be aware of. And that is, number one, timing. Timing. You must seize the blessing at the right time. You must seize the blessing at the right time. Again, revisiting the example of the widow in Zarephath, if she wasted time and she delayed on the instruction that she was given, she would have missed that blessing. So blessings are tied to time. Excelling blessings, I qualify that, excelling blessings are tied to a time, because God has a time for everything. If God has given you a word of instruction that will lead to your excelling blessing, and you beat around the bush, you play around with it, you're not sure, you're constantly thinking about it and brooding over it, it's going to move on to the next person. Why? Because God has an agenda. God has an agenda. The kingdom of God has an agenda. So timing is very important. Also, your company and your location is very key. Your company and your location. We saw in Abraham's example, God said to him, you need to leave. You need to leave your relatives. You need to leave this land. You need to move and go to the place where I'm going to show you. And off the back of this instruction, you would meet with your excelling blessing. And the same thing with the widow as well. You can imagine if the widow had moved from Zarephath for whatever reason, there is no way that she would have been the instrument or the vessel that God would have used for that blessing. There is no way she would have met up with her excelling blessing. So timing is very important. And also, your company and your location is very important. Unfortunately, when you're ready for your excelling blessing, or when God is ready to visit you with your excelling blessing, some friends will have to go. Some acquaintances will have to go. Some relatives will have to go. Some associates will have to go. You have to let go of them. Why? Because God cannot visit you with excelling blessing as long as you continue to hold on to the things of the past, or you continue to hold on to these old ways. So you need to make sure that you pay attention to timing and location. And when God blesses you with your excelling blessing, what do you do next? What do you do next? When God blesses you and visits you with excelling blessing, what are you going to do with that blessing? What are you going to do after he has blessed you and he has placed it in your hands? You need to show him your gratitude. You need to show your gratitude. God wants us to show him gratitude. And the only way you can show him gratitude is by your attitude towards that blessing. By your attitude towards that blessing. Now, what should your attitude be towards that blessing? And this is where I say repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. Your obedience, be a blessing, and make sure that you pick up and run with the assignment that God has given to you. So be obedient, be a blessing, and run with the assignment that God has given to you. God bless you. Let's rise up to our feet tonight. And just, I want you to pray for yourself tonight and just ask God to visit you with an excelling blessing. I am ready for my excelling blessing. I do not want just any ordinary blessing. I want an excelling blessing. I am ready to fulfill the kingdom agenda that would push me into my excelling blessing. I'm ready. I want you to pray tonight. Remember, God sees the heart. God sees the heart. An excelling blessing is not one that you promise God about. It's one that God sees your heart. where you have to condition your heart and you have to determine in your heart that God would see me fit for him to commit this blessing into my hand. I want you to pray for yourself. Pray for yourself that God will condition your heart to be obedient. That God will condition your heart to be a blessing to other people. That God will condition your heart to want to pick up an assignment for his kingdom. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed.